Go take out your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. What happens is there's a few months pass between when Paul was in Ephesus and he is now sending back to talk to the elders at Ephesus. And he wants to tell them and remind them of some of the things that he had taught them and encourage them during his three-year span he was in Ephesus. So let's look at that in Acts chapter 20, verse 17 beginning. Acts 20, verse 17. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, "You know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the laying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock, over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.' And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all, and they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him into the ship." What we have here is a very emotional last chance to be able to talk to these leaders of this church that he had spent so much time with and had so much energy and invested in this group. And so he just wants to make sure that they continue in what they're supposed to do and that they don't get thrown off by the challenges that will come their way. I was thinking about that a little bit as last Sunday night, Jay gave some emotional pleas and encouragements about what he wanted to see in this group. And so I was just trying to compare a little bit. And then I'm trying to apply this to myself. I don't know the future. I don't know how long the Lord will allow me to be alive and allow me to be able to be here and work among you. But one thing that I want to do to be able to say is I would like at the end of it to be able to say, as Paul did, that I have showed you. I've taught you publicly and from house to house. Whatever the teaching is should be based on God's word, not on any man's opinion or what any other man thinks or says. It needs to be from God's word. And it needs to be the same teaching whether it's public or private. Sometimes there are false teachers who, they might say one thing publicly, and then they go sow their false doctrine kind of underhanded, like privately. And so it's one thing in public, one other thing in private. But notice Paul, he's teaching the same thing. Wherever he's at, this is what he taught openly, and this is what he taught whether it was one-on-one or whether it was just in somebody's home. And that teaching ought to take place. There may be some of you who have questions about things. You maybe now or later. There might be things that you're struggling with. I want to encourage you. Feel free to ask me. If there is an opportunity for me to come to your home or you come to my home or we meet at another location, we meet here or wherever, I want to be available to answer anything that would help you in your knowledge to understand God and appreciate Him and His sacrifice. I want to be available that if you have someone that would be willing to sit down with me and my family to discuss the scriptures, any way that we could help you, then I want to be able to say this as the Apostle Paul. I also want to be able to say, as he did, in verse 20, I kept back nothing that was profitable to you. Sometimes there are people who pick and choose what they like about the scripture or which parts they want to talk about, and then they neglect other parts. I don't want to do that. I don't want to add to it, and I don't want to take away from it. If it's in God's word, then it's for your good and for my good. And I don't want to hold back. I don't want to be able to say, well, you know, he only teaches the parts that people accept, but he won't teach the difficult passages. Nor do I want somebody to say, well, he only harps on the negative, but he doesn't talk about the positive either. There's God's word includes the things that were said in 2 Timothy 4 that was said in the scripture reading. Reproving, rebuking, and exhorting. There's some people who only want to reprove, but they don't want to build up and encourage. I don't want to do that. If you catch me doing that, take me aside as Aquila and Priscilla did Apollos and encourage me to not lose that balance. But nor do I want to be the kind of person that either does it one way or the other in a way that the scriptures don't teach it. Where I only talk about the hard things, but I don't talk about the encouraging things, or I only talk about the encouraging things, and I don't talk about the hard things. I honestly believe that all of Scripture is positive if you look at it in the right way. It's all there for our good. It's all there to teach us, to encourage us. Yes, there's going to be some passages that step on our toes. There's going to be some passages that challenge us. There's some passages that some people are like, well, I'd rather you just not talk about that. Let's talk about this, but maybe don't have to talk about that part. No, if it's in Scripture, I want to cover it. At whatever time that if I need to leave, go somewhere else to help some other group, I want to be able to say I didn't hold anything back that was profitable. I also want to be able to say I haven't shunned to declare the whole counsel of God. Now that puts me under a little bit of accountability. This is recorded and you're hearing it and you see it. So that kind of puts me under a little bit of pressure. But that is what the scriptures teach that I should do, to follow Paul's example on that. I want to say, though, if I am teaching on a passage, don't assume that that's necessarily a problem. You know, sometimes people will say, like, let's say a man is teaching on gossip, because it needs to be taught on. sometimes someone in the crowd might think, oh, he's talking about gossip today. Does he know something we don't know? Is there a problem here? And so they assume there must be a problem. Maybe, maybe not. Well, I'm just saying, don't assume motives. I'm encouraging myself to have the right attitude here, to respect God's word and teach all of it faithfully. But I'm also trying to encourage you not to think necessarily the worst. Sometimes things need to be taught in advance so that it doesn't become a problem. Sometimes if there is a problem, it does need to be confronted. And so all of those things are necessary. Also, if I'm going through a passage, I want to be able to teach what's there and not hold back. It's natural that you're in a pew or a chair, and you're listening to the guy preaching, and then it's easy to start thinking, oh, is he aiming this only at me? Well, I'll just tell you up front that I want to teach God's word faithfully. I realize that it hits me, and it hits everybody because it's for everybody. There might be some times, I just want to be honest, there might be some times where I know that there might be a sensitive subject in somebody's life that might be touchy to them. I want you to know that I have your best interest at heart. I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm not trying to harm you in any way. I only want to give you what the Scripture teaches, because I want to be able to, when I meet my Maker, that He is not upset at me that I either left something out that I should have been teaching, or that I only taught this and not that. I don't want to be cowardly in proclaiming the gospel. I believe all of God's word is for our is there to, and we're going to be judged by these words. These are not just words. These are words of God. And I believe you can see that respect that the Apostle Paul has. A preacher is like a herald. The word preacher is described, kerubs, or how you pronounce that in the Greek, it means one who's a spokesman for a higher authority. These are not my words. These are God's words. Now, when I start interpreting it, that's where I might be mistaken. So I'm not the authority. My opinions don't matter. My interpretation is not what matters. What matters is God's word. So when you listen to it, I encourage you to make sure you're reading it and make sure that is what it's saying. And if you catch me misunderstanding something, I wouldn't do it on purpose, but I would appreciate it if you did come and talk to me about that, because I want to teach it faithfully. Now, the Apostle Paul notices humility in verse 19. He reminds them that he served them with humility of mind and with many tears and temptations. There were trials when Paul was in Ephesus. There were enemies who did not like the message he was promoting. They were afraid of the consequences of his message. So there are people who resist God's word for whatever reason. But Paul doesn't have some kind of harmful aim in whenever he's presenting it, the word of God. He wants people to understand God's will in order to grow. But understand that there are sometimes there are these defenses that people have. There are things that maybe we have our own bias for whatever reason, and that we're resisting obeying God on some issue. And it's okay to have emotions about caring about people who might be trapped in various situations and circumstances. So understand, I feel for people who might have had a difficult upbringing that causes them to put up a defense about what the truth says. It doesn't mean I'm justifying any kind of sin that somebody might be committing. But I do have an empathy for people who are trapped. But having said that, I still want to give them the truth. I want them to know what God's will says. And I want you to know that, because I want to know it. Notice also that Paul recognizes that the things that he's teaching is going to cause himself a good bit of heat and pressure. He's about to leave and go to Jerusalem, and he knows there's going to be some difficulties that happen. He knows he's not going to see them anymore. And he says there's going to be, I'm going to be imprisoned and I'm going to be beaten. He knows that ahead of time, but yet he's still going to teach the same truth. That should teach you and I that the truth stays the same regardless of how people respond to it. But do we need to be willing to endure whatever kinds of views that people have towards us if we believe these scriptures? I believe so. Not only that, verse 26, Paul says, I want you to know that I'm pure from the blood of all men. I believe what he's saying here is, if there's anybody who doesn't obey God, I don't want it to be my fault for not telling them. I believe that ought to be our aim, that somebody wouldn't be able to say, well, you didn't mention the Lord to me, or you didn't tell me that this was wrong. You saw me and you knew that I was doing something wrong and you never said anything to me. I don't believe that would be real love. I don't believe it would be really loving to you if I thought that you were not right with God in some way and I didn't tell you. So if I ever have the uncomfortable situation of approaching you, I'm not coming as one coming down hard on you. I'm not approaching you as someone who doesn't have temptations myself. I'm coming as a person who, just like anybody else, have my own struggles and temptations, my own weaknesses. But if I approach you to try to help you, it's not because I'm looking down on you. It's not because I think I'm better than you or anything like that. I think the Apostle Paul's example here shows that type of prideful attitude that some people have, it was not his. That's not his aim. He wants to be able to meet his maker with joy. I declared the word of God to them. If they didn't accept it, that was their choice. Not because I failed to do my job. I think that's the point of verse 26. But he's going to warn them. You know, everything in a church doesn't always happen in an ideal manner. Churches face problems. There are all kinds of people with different wills. They're listening to different voices. They're reading different things. And sometimes they get caught up in the wrong things. And sometimes that pulls people away. And so we got to be on guard, to go back to the scripture, and not to allow anyone to pull us away from this truth. You realize the devil wants to distract you. The devil wants to teach something false so that you trust God less and you trust something else. That's what he wants you to do. And the only remedy for you not doing that is us having sound teaching. Each of us needs to hear and be about God's word and learn from it. And that's the only way that we'll know whether what's right and what's wrong. He even says in verse 28, even among the leadership in Ephesus, there would even be some who he calls wolves. Now, or not sparing the flock. You think of this idea of a wolf. And in other places, talking about like a wolf in sheep's clothing. Sometimes wolves don't appear as wolves. And what do wolves want to do to the sheep? They want to devour them. They don't have the best interest of the sheep at heart. But they might look like a sheep. False teachers don't have warning signs on them saying, beware of me. They might be likable people. They don't look differently on the outside as truth teachers. You can't look at somebody and judge whether or not they're a truth teacher or a false teacher. But notice what they're doing. They're drawing away disciples after them, meaning it's pulling people towards them. Anything that honors the man doing the teaching is the wrong focus. The teaching should honor the Lord. And so that ought to be any teacher's aim, is that you walk away not thinking how good of a teacher you just heard, how good of a speech it was. It should be, how great is our Lord that we need to serve and follow Him. And I hope that that is our aim in all of the teaching that we have. But he says, I warned you night and day with tears. Sometimes those warnings are necessary. They're not fun. It's not like some kind of morbid pleasure that, you know, you get out of warning about a false teaching or a false teacher. But it does need to be done. And he says he does it with tears. Another thing that I would like for you to see is that the Apostle Paul, his aim was not only to honor himself, but he wanted to set an example, though. He wanted people to follow his example. He wasn't preaching for popularity. He wasn't preaching for money. And he even says, my hands have worked and ministered to my necessities. And he says, I showed you how that we ought to support the weak, and it is more blessed to give than to receive. The Apostle Paul wasn't there in Ephesus to see how much money he could get out of the Ephesians. He was there to try to give to them. And so he fed them. Now, whether he took some money or not, I'm not sure about that from them. We know in other places he did. But even if a person makes money while that's their job of teaching the gospel, it should never be that's their aim, just to see how much they could get. But the aim should be what's best for the people. A laborer's worthy of his hire. That's all true. Paul taught that. But the aim is to feed people for things necessary for eternity. The example that you need to see from the Apostle Paul is that don't be the kind of person that's always thinking about what I can get. What's in it for me? What can you give me? Think about what you can contribute. Think about what you can add. How you can be involved in the work, how you can give back to the Lord by participating in whatever way that you can. And then one final point that I want to try to discuss before I wrap up the lesson is, notice the group that the Apostle Paul is writing to. Verse 17, he calls them elders. That Greek word there is presbyteros. So he calls the elders of that church. The elders are leaders. Then notice in verse 28, he's talking to the same group of men. Verse 28, he tells them, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. That word overseers is the Greek word episkopos, which means bishop. So the Holy Spirit has made you bishops is really the point he's making. So I'm trying to show you same group of men that he called as elders in verse 17. He's now calling them bishops in verse 28. Elder and bishop is the same man. Two different terms to describe what they do and describe their role. A bishop, when you hear the word bishop, don't think of a man with a funny shaped hat and, you know, something like that. Think of it as the role. He is an overseer of the work in that group. But then he says, the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God. Some of your translations may say to shepherd or to pastor. That Greek word is poimano, which is pastor, shepherd. So what I'm showing you here is pastor, shepherd, bishop, elder are all referring to the same group of men. Sometimes there are people who think of preacher as synonymous with those terms. It's not exactly the same. So sometimes when people look at a preacher, they might call him the pastor. But notice here, there are multiple men, not just one, multiple men who are shepherds, pastors, bishops, elders. Preaching is a separate role. I'm preaching. I am not an elder. I'm not the pastor. So I'm trying to show you the difference, what the world might think about with those terms. But the Holy Spirit determined who those men are. Did you notice that? It says the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. The Holy Spirit has written qualifications or things pertaining to the kind of men who would do those tasks that shepherds do. Maybe we can talk about those things later and deal with that. But I'm just showing you here the three different terms, and he's talking to the same group of men. Hope this is helpful. This should set the stage of the work in Ephesus that Paul had. Now, a few years later, he wrote the letter to the church at Ephesus. In future lessons, Lord willing, and tonight beginning in chapter 1, we'll look at chapter 1 of Ephesians, that he writes to this same group that he had spent this 3 years with. So I hope you can look forward to that and come back tonight for that. If you have thought about any of the things we've said today, and let's say you've thought about your own situation with regards to what you believe and baptism, and if you haven't been baptized in the name of the Lord yet, I encourage you to do that. If you're ready to do that, you can come to the front. We'll be glad to assist you and baptize you in the name of the Lord today. If you need more study about that in order to understand that, then ask me after and we can deal with that. But I want to extend the invitation to any who want to do that. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, you believe that with all your heart, you're ready to repent, you're ready to make a confession, I believe he's the Son of God, and you're ready to be baptized, then you can come right up to the front while we stand as we sing.